another fucking dream come true for this band. And it all started with one song. When we found ourselves in bad situations, when we found ourselves on days that we just couldn't find ourselves out of. And at the end of it, we only got three fucking words to say. And that is, what a fucking day. So everybody look at that camera right there and say what's up for the DVD.
Insecurities making up my mind, the old hypocrisy, oh, in life. Welcome everybody to the Bartender's Jukebox. We blocked out there for, there we go. We blocked out for a second on my end. Yes, we are back. We decided to go for round two. This time we're going to talk about some health and fitness, correct? We're going to get into that today, I think.
Yeah.
My wife.
Talk about whatever you want.
Awesome. Awesome. My wife, she had asked me, she goes, is there any way you can incorporate some women's health and fitness into it? I said, we'll see what we can do. So
yeah,
let's start off that way. As a female, I know did usually more struggles and stuff, self-conscious. How do you get over that? I mean, you just said one day, F it, I'm going to go forward and this is how it's going to be. What was it like for you getting to that point?
So for me, what did it for me was when the pandemic happened, and one of the high risk factors in the beginning was obesity. And I was like, I'll be damned if I'm going to let this virus take me away from my kids because I'm overweight and fat because I'm fat. You know what I mean? And so I was like, I'm not going out like that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was like, I got a fire under me. And that's like my why is basically my kids. I'm going to live longer. I'm going to be able to play with my grandchildren, get down on the floor with them, hopefully. But you know what I mean? Like a lot of what I do is like functional fitness, which means it's like, you know, like lifting things like you would when you're older, you need to lift your grocery bags out of the car. You know what I mean? And, you know, when you're older, you have a hard time doing that. But anyway, that was what my why was. And that's what it was like. I had to do it for someone else. I couldn't do it for me. But then when I got into it and I started seeing results and I started feeling better about myself, not only in how I looked, but in how I felt, like physically, like I felt so good. And after I would work out or go on a walk, like mentally, it was so much better for me too.
It started giving you confidence as you started going along, just the little steps that started building up.
Yeah, it was little things. And that, you know, I think people tend to say that I'm confident. And I think I have an air of confidence about me, but I'm not always that confident. I totally fake it sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's just like, maybe I don't know where that comes from, but I'm going to stand strong and I'm, you know what I mean? So I think I don't try. I'm having a hard time explaining this because it's like, I don't try to come off with this air of confidence, but when people say to me, you're always so confident, you're always so confident. I'm like, really? Like, but I'm not though. You know, like I second guess myself and I have, you know, my own self-esteem stuff that I deal with. And, you know, I walk into the gym, I walk in anywhere with my head held high. And I think I learned that from my dad. Like you walk in there with your head held high. Like, you know what I mean? And I mean, my dad walks in like he owns the room, but I mean, he is who he is. So he does kind of own the room.
Yeah.
But I think I get that from him. And it's sometimes, like I said, I'm totally faking it because I don't even, like someone said, I was teaching a class, right? And it was my first one. And they were like, at the afterwards, I think I said like, yeah, it was my first class or whatever. And they were like, that was your first class? We never would have known that that was your first class. You seem so confident. I thought I looked like a nervous wreck.
It always seems sometimes like it's when we put so much on ourselves seems to be when we work the best. And inside, like deep inside, like we feel like a nervous wreck. and things are falling apart, but people around us see it like, man, you did a really good job. Like you led it with confidence, or, you know, and a lot of people just don't know the struggle inside that people deal with. It's just how we come off. And that's, you know, especially being in the fitness, teaching class and stuff like that, you have to almost come off with some kind of confidence to transcend it to the people that you're, you know, you're teaching. And when that all happens, I mean, you're a nervous wreck inside, but you're still somehow managing to pull through for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause you have to. And I feel like I just am a strong person anyway. And I think I have a pretty strong personality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it all comes from. But like sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes on the inside, it's almost like sometimes on the inside, it's little Kelly, like the mm-hmm. little girl who's like, doesn't know what's going on. You know what I mean?
It's almost like it's a bit of a timid feeling in a sense.
Yes. Yeah. It's being very timid. And I actually can be very shy. I think it just depends on like what's going on and who I'm around. But mm-hmm. if I'm quiet around someone, it's usually because I'm not comfortable around them yet. Like I haven't gotten to know them yet. Like I'm just like, it's almost like how much Kelly can they handle? Like I need to get to know them first. Like, do they get 50% Kelly or do they get Kelly like full throttle? Like we're having a great time. We're, you know, we're whooping it up. You know what I mean? Like how much Kelly do they get? So I have to kind of gauge. So I get really quiet sometimes. And sometimes people like my tattoo guy, right? When I first went to go start my sleeve, he was like, did you take a Xanax or something before you came in here? Like, it's okay if you did, but did you? Cause you like, are you okay? And I was like, I am totally fine. I'm just like, I didn't want to be like, I'm not comfortable around you, but I'm just like, I'm just quiet until I get to know you or something like that. But anyway, let's get on to a different topic.
Okay. All right.
Let's talk more about health and fitness instead of Kelly's mental problems. Yes.
All right. By the way, Walter Raymond says, hey, Kelly.
Hey, Walter. How are you?
All right. So nowadays, we're in a struggling economy. The price of fresh food is going up. What are some tips that you can give to eat healthy, even on a stringent budget?
That is a great question. And my answer is meal plan.
Meal plan?
You don't have to like buy everything on, like you don't have to make Sunday like a grocery day where you go and then you're in the kitchen all day because you have to unload everything. And then like, you don't have to meal prep if you don't want to. I mean, it makes it very convenient if you meal prep through the week, but you don't have to do that, but meal plan. So you know what you're having for the week. Because if you go to the store every day, you buy stuff you don't need or want. Or it's an impulse buy, right? You want it in that second. But so I will say I sometimes go to the grocery store a lot more than once a week. Because when I do buy produce, I don't like, I might do like Monday through Wednesday and then like Wednesday or Thursday go to the store again so I can get like more produce and things like that. But I'll like make a list and I'm only getting what's on the list. Like just laser focus, but meal planning, like plan your meals for the week. And then you can even try to plan. So you're using, if you know you're going to have a lot left over or something, like maybe a recipe you're going to make, you only need one half of a head of cauliflower. And you're like, what am I going to do with the rest of this cauliflower? Meal plan so that maybe on Wednesday or Thursday, you're making something with that cauliflower.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I used to buy like the big things of salad. Like, you know, the big container. And I would never go through it all. And so, and I would get so upset because I'm like, how this, it's wasted. Like, it's already getting water, you know, like it's already getting gross. And I'm really picky about my produce anyway. And so I'm like, but every week I was buying the big thing of salad and throwing half of it away, or maybe like a quarter of it away. And so I buy a bag of lettuce. And if you really want to be more frugal, you would get a, or more budget friendly, I should say, you would get like a salad spinner and buy, go to the section where it's not already processed for you and buy the lettuce and wash it and put it in a, and chop it and put it in a salad spinner. You know what I mean? To get the water out. So you don't, it's not as time consuming to dab it with paper towels, but there's definitely ways to be able to get like the fresher foods without wasting them. But I totally get it, because I've bought cucumbers before, because I make buffalo chicken dip. Like, that's a staple in our house. We, I pretty much always have buffalo chicken dip, but I eat it
same around here.
Cucumber. Yeah, do you eat it with cucumber?
I have not tried it with cucumber, but I love cucumbers on the summer day. I can just sit there and slice a little bit off and just a tiny pinch of salt. I'm good to go. I am good to go with that.
Well, cucumbers are actually very high in water, so it's a really good summer snack is cucumber. But I get the English cucumber, so it's got less to no seeds. And I peel it kind of fancy-like, so it's like... Parts peeled and part isn't. So when I cut it up, it's look, just looks fancier. I don't know. But anyway, try it with cucumber next time. And it's like life-changing. Like, I can't eat buffalo chicken dip any other way. Like, I mean, my family, like my husband, he's always like, I love it with celery. And I'm not a huge celery fan. And carrots you can have on low-carb and keto, but you can't have a lot of them. And then cucumbers are pretty much like almost free, right? And so cucumber, that's, so I started doing it with cucumber, and then I got my husband to try it with a cucumber, and now he loves it with cucumber. But the kids will eat it with like chips or crackers or something. But
this actually brings me to a good point. Because you said that the kids will eat it with chips and crackers. My youngest son, he had two forms of leukemia, and because of his treatment, some of his taste buds had gotten damaged. He has, so he's more of a texture kind of person.
Okay.
Vegetables are not on his list of things whatsoever. I mean, it's a texture thing for him. So are there any other healthy routes or advice that you could give for somebody that doesn't like vegetables too much that could still live a healthier lifestyle?
Does he like fruit?
Absolutely loves certain kinds of fruits. Yeah, it and just depends on texture.
Yeah. Is it so it's a texture thing. So has he tried canned, steamed, and frozen? Because those are all three different textures. Like fresh, frozen, and canned are all three different textures.
The narrow down is he likes French cut string beans from the can.
Okay.
And that's pretty much where, cooked carrots out of the can too. Fresh, it's too much of a crispy snap form. He's very, very, very,
even
very
cooked nice. From fresh is he, it's not, because like from a can is a lot mushier. So even like if they're fresh cooked, he doesn't like that. It's from a can.
Yeah. The softer it is, he likes it.
Gotcha. So I would just let him eat those two things. Like, if that's just the only vegetables he eats, then I mean, you may need to worry about like the sodium in them.
He's 20 years old now. So he's, I was just asking to, you maybe if he's watching right now, I have some tips for him to kind of take the leap and go for it.
What about like a salad? Like, but not like shredded lettuce instead of big pieces of lettuce.
Nope. He despises it.
Well, what about cauliflower?
Don't forget to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations for all your artistic needs. Looking for a special occasion for a friend, family, or loved one. Be sure to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations on all social media and her website on BigCartel.com. That is Nelly's Artistic Creations. And with the holiday season coming up, a nice piece of art will always cheer the soul.
Flower cut up and use instead of like I make this pasta salad.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of pasta, it's like cut up cauliflower. But it's like mixed in dressing. So as it sits there, it doesn't get mushy or anything, but it does get a little bit softer just because of the, I mean, it holds up pretty good, but
okay.
Cauliflower rice, does he eat regular rice? Cause you can get cauliflower rice and add it into rice.
No, it's a texture thing.
If he's like worried about like the vitamins and nutrients that he's missing,
mm-hmm.
he can puree it or buy like a thing of cat food. My God, not cat food, baby food.
Yeah.
Baby food, because it's already like cooked and prepped and everything for you. And like put it in like spaghetti sauce. Because you're not going to taste it because the spaghetti sauce is going to overpower it. There's actually a really good cookbook about like hiding vegetables and things. I don't know if they're married anymore. I have absolutely no idea because I don't follow them, but, Jerry Seinfeld's wife wrote a book. Basically she like purees vegetables and puts it in things to get her kids to eat vegetables. So that would be a good cookbook for maybe your son to get and see if there's, or to at least look at and see if there's anything in there that he might want to try. Because it's like hiding the vegetables and they're pureed, so you don't notice that they're in there.
That I will have to talk to him about that and see if that's something he's interested in. My wife had commented and said his go-tos for, fruits is grapes, apples, and bananas are his three majors. He does meal prep throughout the week. He'll usually get some chicken, put in a crock pot, kind of portion it out throughout the week. And then it's usually some form of potato that he adds to it. He likes his starch. But like I said, I'm trying to figure out ways to help incorporate more vegetables into his diet for him. But I'll definitely have him take a look at the cookbook that Mrs. Seinfeld
had. Yeah, wrote. I think her name is Jessica Seinfeld, but I cannot remember. I just know it was Jerry Seinfeld's wife.
Okay. How can I put it?
Hey, my friend Amanda. Sorry, my friend Amanda.
Oh, that's all right.
She's one of my besties. Hey, girl. She was just asking what's my favorite sweet snack without adding tons of calories. Okay. So because I do keto and low carb, and the way I do it, which I don't know if you would call it lazy keto, but I don't count anything. Okay. So I don't count calories. The only thing I do is try to eat low carb. Okay. And I can probably do this because I've done keto and I was very strict on keto, and I might have to, like, at some point I'll plateau and I might have to start counting my carbs. But so I don't know. I'm just going to go grab them because they're right here.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay. So I actually don't even know how many calories, like I literally only look at carbs and sugar when I'm looking at something, and I already have like all my favorites, so I just know to grab that. All right. So I eat three meals. I eat three times a day, and then I have like little snacks. Okay. And so I know like the beginning of my day, I don't have a whole lot of carbs because I'm having like protein drinks because it's right after the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So I know like towards the end of the day, I can probably do more, but anyway. All right. So this Nick's keto bars. Okay, they have a triple chocolate one, and then they've got this one. This one's more like a Snickers.
Okay.
And okay, so it's 190 calories for one bar, and it satisfies me because when you have stuff that has more fat in it, it keeps you fuller longer. So this has 10 grams of fat in one thing, and then it only has, I think, 4 net carbs per bar.
Okay.
So I, like I said, I'm worried about carbs. So
Yeah.
it's only, this thing only has 4 carbs. I'm like, great. 4 carbs for a snack, but I'm not eating an entire box in a day either. I'm just
Yeah.
having like one at night. Like I just have like a sweet treat at night because nighttime snacking on sweet stuff is like my downfall. It's
Right
what
there.
got me to over 300 pounds. You know what I mean? I could eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's every single night while in bed watching TV and then go to bed, right?
Yes.
So now I can do that if I want to, but it's keto ice cream. I also love these. So these are Atkins Indulge,
Okay.
and they're like turtles. And this has, it only has 2 net carbs per serving, and one serving is two of them.
All right.
So, and then so how you find, and it's got 10 grams of fat in per serving, right? Yeah. So the way, if you're gonna do keto or low carb, the way you look at it, oh my goodness. Don't know if you guys can see that, but you take the total carbs, which this is 15 total carbs, and then you subtract the fiber. So fiber is, this one is 8 grams, and then you subtract any sugar alcohols that are in
Okay.
there. So this one has 5 sugar alcohols. So that leaves 4 or 2 net carbs.
All right.
That's not math, right?
I think so.
15 minus 8 minus 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Two.
So what were you asking me?
I was actually gonna say to you, my wife had put the link up. It's called Deceptively Delicious: Simple Secrets to Get Your Kids Eating Good Food. And she put the link up in the comments if anybody wants to check
Nice.
it.
Thank you. Yeah, so definitely check it out. And I would love to know if how he likes it. Like if he tries any of the recipes and likes them, like I would love to
Oh,
know.
definitely. Definitely. How many carbs do you think you take in a day? Since we were just on the carbs.
Okay. So keto is 20 net carbs or less in
Okay.
a day. So if I was counting carbs and I eat 4 times a day, right? That's, I get 5 net carbs a meal or every time I eat, right?
Okay.
So if I was doing that and I really needed the sweet treat, then I would save my carbs to make sure I was able to have one of those 4 net carb snacks. And if not, I would just have the pecan ones. But I don't know how much I eat because I don't count it. But so that's why I say I'm low carb keto, because keto, your body goes into ketosis, right? And low carb, you're just eating less carbs. So that's why I'm like, I'm kind of, because I don't count and I probably have more carbs on some days than others. But let me think. So today, all right, you, I'll count, I'll throw out the number and then you add it up, okay? So for today, I had a protein drink, which is four carbs. I had a legendary Pop-Tart thing, that's 4 carbs. Then I had my whole sandwich thing that I made today, which I posted on my Facebook page. It was a cheese wrap,
It looks delicious, then, by the way.
Ooh, I had berries, so that adds a little. And I can't think off the top. So I'm going to say that was probably 6 net carbs, maybe less. It might have been more like 5. No.
Okay.
The sandwich. 5. I'm going to say 7 carbs.
Seven carbs. Yeah. You're at about 15 right now.
So I'm at 15. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to have dinner. And I'm just going to have, tonight, I'm just going to have chicken. So that's no carbs. And then I'll have sauce. And that has I use G. Hughes sauce, which is pretty much no carbs. It's got no sugar. And it's tasty. And I'll have that. And then what am I going to have with it? I'll probably have a salad. So with everything that I'll put on the salad, I'm going to say 3 net carbs. If I don't do a salad, I'll do Brussels sprouts. It'll depend
that's
on
my,
how
that's my wife's favorite.
Want. Yeah, I love Brussels sprouts. And I add, when I'm feeling fancy, I do, I add goat cheese and bacon. And then I'll do a little balsamic drizzle.
She likes them fried up in balsamic glaze and all that. Oh, you tell her Brussels sprouts, she's on it like a bonnet.
Yes. And I like them. I used to always oven roast them. Mm. And then one day I was like, I wonder if I could like saute these in a pan and like how would they turn out? And I actually like it better. But what I do is I cover it. I like mix it up in the oil and seasonings, and then I put them cut side down in a pan and then cover it and just like let it sit for a while so it steams but fries. And then I'll like shake it a little, and then I'll take the top off and let it cook a little bit more. And sometimes I'll flip them around and stuff. And I actually prefer it that way rather than oven roasting them. So you'll have to try that next time. I don't know how you make yours, but.
I on the other hand, I am not a Brussels sprouts person. I will always give them a taste when my wife makes them. It's just that heavy cabbage flavor. Just anything cabbage for me. I think.
I love cabbage. I love cabbage. I like sauerkraut. I made sauteed cabbage for St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I
live in Dutch country, so cabbage is abundant up this way. Sauerkraut, I was raised on it. I'd rather get a raw red beet than cabbage.
Really?
I would rather do that. I know it'd be tough biting into it and then the flavor, whatever, but yes, I would rather have a much better time doing that
than with sauerkraut.
Oh yeah. Well, no, sauerkraut more or less. All right, so this is kind of a funny story. Many years ago, my father, he decided he was going to attempt to do sauerkraut. And I don't know if he fermented a little bit too long, but let me tell you, that was the absolute worst thing I've ever tasted in my life because it was his first time doing it. I don't know if he got it right or whatever. And it turned me off just never again. Like every year, one little piece for New Year's because it's the Dutch tradition. You always got to have pork and sauerkraut, you know, for good luck for the New Year. But I take my little strand and I call it a day. But like I will try.
Swallow it whole.
Oh, I make sure it's wrapped up in the pork as it's going down. Like it doesn't even touch the tongue. Mm-mm.
Right. Oh, that's funny. My son, when we don't like force our kids to eat, but if he wants something sweet, like it's like, well, you have to have at least like 2 more bites of whatever is on his plate. And so sometimes he'll like take it like a pill.
Really?
Like, obviously he cuts it small and then he'll take it like a pill. But I'm like, so when he had to take medicine one time and he was like, I can't take that. I need the liquid, Mom. I need the liquid. It was like when I first moved over to regular pills for him. And I was like, do it like you do the food. Want to eat. And I bet you can swallow. And he did it. So I'm like, see?
Walter has a question for you. Do you do a lot of fish or hamburger meat? And if so, what do you suggest as the healthiest?
So I really don't eat a whole lot of fish unless it's sushi. Like I like raw fish. But sushi has a lot of rice, so I can't really eat that a lot. However, sometimes you can go to a sushi place and a lot of sushi places will have at least one, maybe two rolls that don't have rice in them. And then there's some restaurants that I've gone to where I can be like, can I get this roll but with no rice? And sometimes they're like, yes. And then some restaurants are like, no. So one place told me it was impossible. And I was like, well, I do that at other places, so I know it's not impossible.
Yeah.
But it's okay if you don't want to do it, that's fine. And I just found
Mm.
something else to eat. But anyway, so the fish I eat is usually raw, and everyone will tell you that fish is healthier for you than any of the other meats. But I prefer chicken to red meat. However, I love a rib eye. That's like my favorite, is a really good rib eye. That's like, love a rib eye. Everybody loves filet, and I like filet too, but I really like a rib eye. So, and
Yes, I
before
can
you
agree with
ask,
that.
I eat my steaks medium.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
My wife, she likes hers well done, almost hockey puck style.
Yeah.
But me, on the other hand, yes, I'm a medium, maybe even a little medium rare, depending, but right around that area.
Yeah.
Absolutely love steak.
I feel like that's the only way to eat steak. I
Yeah,
used to eat well, and then as I like got older and I think was exposed to more rarer cooking, because my husband likes it rare. I can't eat his temperature steak. It's way too rare. But anyway, just as I've gotten older, I think I've just appreciated it more the rarer it is, but only to like a medium, maybe a medium rare, but I just can't do rare.
Yeah, that's a little bit too far, or onto the blue part of it, as they call it, where it's almost not even touching the grill. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's almost my husband. Like he's like, sear it and I'm good. And I'm like, ugh. Just ugh. Like if the fat isn't like cooked at all, like I'm like, ugh, that's so gross.
Yeah,
Anyway.
no.
If you are going to eat hamburger meat, so I do eat hamburgers and I eat hamburger meat and stuff. I try to get like, so when you're keto, you can have higher fat, but I just don't like really fatty meat. So I would do like a 80-20 is usually my go-to, but I try to do more of like the 85-15. It depends on what I'm making though, because to get like the 96.4, because it doesn't have a lot of fat in it, like sometimes it gets hard. Like it's a weirder, like I have to
It's almost
add
like
oil to it. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like if I'm
it's
frying
a
it
very
up,
dry,
yeah,
almost dry
it's super
texture to
dry.
it.
Yes. And sometimes if you're not paying attention, it'll get hard. And so, like you have to add fat to it. So I'm like, if I'm adding fat to it, like, but it just depends on what I'm making. You know what I mean? If I'm making a burger, I don't want to use 96.4.
Here's a quick
Meat.
question.
So it just depends.
Here's a quick question for you. Your dad, being the legendary wrestler that he is, did he have a certain diet that he abided by? And then when he would come home, did you guys have to abide by that diet with him during like family meals at all? Or was it just like
So
comfort foods when he came home?
my dad would pretty much eat what he wanted to eat, but there were times where he would be on like a diet or just like watching what he was eating. But for the most part, my dad pretty much ate what he wanted, and he still pretty much eats what he wants, but he doesn't eat as much as he used to. But
That's sorry for
he's a
that
guy
random
that does
question that
not
just
like,
popped in there.
yeah, my dad does not like vegetables. He doesn't eat a lot of
Really?
vegetables. No. So like a salad, like if he gets a salad, like comes with his meal, he'll always ask somebody if they want it. And if nobody wants a salad, he tells them he doesn't want, not even to bring it, because he doesn't want to waste the food. He definitely will not eat a salad. Now, every now and then he'll eat, like he likes Brussels sprouts. He'll eat that. And I think he likes asparagus. I love asparagus. And he loves like potatoes. But he's not a big green
No.
vegetable person.
But he wears all green. Maybe that's where it transpires. He wears all the green so he doesn't have to eat
There you
the
go. But he
Oh.
does credit his people tell him like he looks so good and what do you do? And he credits he takes vitamins and has a banana every day.
Did your dad when he was home, did he always take like moments of gym time and stuff like that? Or did he just, want to spend it with you guys as much as possible?
So we had in our basement, we had a gym, like a cable machine back down in our basement. And I actually found out recently because I mentioned it to him, and he was like, "Oh, the only reason why we got that was because somebody owed him money, and so they gave him that." And he was like, "Well, I'll take it, you know." And so, but I used to go down there and do my homework. Because I'd be bored and I would like lay there and do hamstring curls while I was like laying down doing homework reading and stuff. It was like whatever I could do to not do my homework. So I would like go down there and do that and just, and that's like all I did was like hammer, keep wanting to call them hammer curls, hamstring curls. And it would hamstring curls, you could do leg extensions. So I would sit there with a book and like do leg extensions and I don't,
On.
I had no idea what I was doing,
You
but
were casually
he really,
working out while avoiding homework.
but he really didn't work out a whole lot. His workout was in the ring. Him wrestling was his workout.
He had that natural build to him, and it all the work ethic in the world, his exercise, like you're saying, was in the ring. That's, I mean,
Well,
I see all these documents. I see all these documentaries like of different legends or wrestlers, and they had party lives and stuff like that. Your dad was very straight laced. I mean, after watching that biography, I had to say I have a huge amount of respect for your father, especially in a business where guys get hurt, they're on pain medicines, stuff like that. They stray from family life. I mean, your dad was very cut and dry with all that from what I watched, and I massive amount of respect for that.
Well,
Massive
thank
amount.
you. Thank you. He, family was always really important to him. And even though wrestling took him away from us, like we were still, you know, maybe half, like wrestling was number one, was half, and then number one was cut in half. And like wrestling was half, and family was half. You know what I mean? Because wrestling is what paid the bills and it's what he loved to do. But he loved us and wanted to be with us. But I forgot what I was saying. I got all caught up with the half and the half and it's one and
Hey guys, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition. If you like all things podcasts and different kind of unique interviews, definitely check those guys out. Another podcast to check out is the Three Beards of Wrestling. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, all kinds of wrestling talk, definitely check out the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. That is my shameless promos for the rest of this episode, so enjoy the rest.
I forgot what your question was. Oh, my dad's. Okay, yes.
Yes.
So no, my dad, he really did not have any like there was no real drug addiction. I mean, he definitely like he had some issues because of the ibuprofen that he would be taking because he would take so many ibuprofen and it caused like ulcers. He's had a hip, both his hips replaced. And he yeah, so he's definitely took a brutal beating, just like all the other wrestlers did and do. His hips he had to have replaced, they said, because of the trauma from wrestling and all the bumps that he took. And they actually said, "I can't believe it's taking you so long to come in here because you should have had your hips replaced 20 years ago." And he was just,
Wow.
he lived with such horrible chronic pain. And like I said, he would like eat ibuprofen like it was candy. But he didn't get hooked on opiates. Like we were just lucky in that sense that, a lot of people do get injured. Like I always say, like a lot of people are only one injury away from an opiate addiction because they're
And those,
so addictive. They are so
yes,
addictive. But
I
we
had a
were just lucky in that my dad didn't, he didn't, he never got, he may have been prescribed them certain times in his life, but like I said, he got ulcers from all the ibuprofen he was taking.
I mean, God bless him for going through the business and not getting hooked on any of that stuff and being the man he is today. I mean, like I said, family first and foremost, and the fact that he never went through that whatsoever for you guys and himself, that's just a feat all on its own, especially for what those guys do to themselves day in and day out.
Yeah, their bodies take a huge beating, and a lot of people will say, like, wrestlers aren't athletes. They're not really playing. They're not playing a sport, things like that. And I'm like, well, actually, their sport that they participate in doesn't have a season. Like, they don't have an off
Yeah.
season. They are going all
Nope.
the time. Football players, they get an off season. Every
They get the
sport has an off season except for
commercial
wrestling.
breaks once a week. They might play. They got the time off. Where wrestlers, I mean, they're doing house shows, stuff like that. They're constantly on the road. And
Constantly.
it's not like you're just going in there and taking one or two hits like a football player does, or you're running for those 15, 20 seconds, and then all of a sudden giving yourself time to recharge. You're going, I mean, 10 minutes sometimes may not seem like a lot. 5 to 10 minutes of constant motion. But when you're doing it in physical aspects, getting up and down, landing on your back, landing on your front, it's a lot harder than what people think. And they say, oh, it's scripted, it's this, it's that. Let me see you get up and down, 10 times off, just off the ground as fast as you can. And make it
Yeah.
look like you're not out of breath. If you can do that simple thing and tell me that it is not a workout whatsoever, I will respect your opinion. But and if you get up and you're winded, anything like that, no. They play it off real well what they go through.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've done like a workout or done a Spartan race or been training for a Spartan and I have a picture of me that I was training for Spartans with someone, and they took a picture of me after we went out and we ran all these trails, and we would run a certain amount. We would run like a half a mile, like run half a mile, stop, do like 5 or 10 burpees or something like that, and then we would run. And then we would do burpees and run and do burpees and run. And I was sweating, so I was completely drenched in sweat. She took video, and there's like sweat literally, like constantly, like a faucet coming off of my eyelash. And anyway, I when we were done, like I just like collapsed on the ground, and I didn't care where we were. And we were right by, they call it the canteen where we were, which is like the restaurant. Everyone's like, "Is she okay?" And I'm just like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna die," just like laying there. And I was like, I can't imagine having to kick out of a hold right now. Like if someone was laying on top of me, going for the pin, and I have to because of that's what's supposed to happen in the match, is I kick out of this. Like, I can't imagine being able to do that right now, like having the energy to do that. And so I asked my dad, I'm like, well, what happens like if the person's like so like they are supposed to kick out and they don't kick out? And he's like, well, the refs are kind of like they can tell and something will happen. Like usually they're the veterans are good at like knowing how to handle that. But he was like, he's never, I don't think, had that happen. He did have like Andre the Giant fall asleep. He was like banging on him, like wailing on him, trying to like wake him up because he's like, we got to do this mat. Like he's like literally in the ring with him.
Oh, did Andre have too much to drink that day?
Yeah, he was drinking.
Yeah, yeah. There was a story. There's a meme that goes around with Andre the Giant where you see him sitting at a bar, and it's usually with a blonde haired lady. That was actually taken in my hometown here at the Abraham Lincoln Hotel, where he did his record drinking of, I think it was like 126 pints of beer or something like that. That's wow. where the record was held. So yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. He was a drinker. I just saw something on Facebook. It was a quote that Hogan said, and it was something about he had to wrestle Andre and he sat there and watched. And I don't really know the context of what he was talking about, but he was like, Vince wanted him in the locker room, basically watching Andre to make sure mm-hmm. Andre was okay. And so Hogan's like, and then I sat there and I watched him drink like 5 or 3/5 of whiskey and we got to go wrestle.
Oh man.
Yeah. So yeah.
Two shots and I'm feeling it, man. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah. So
do you have any Spartan events coming up anytime soon?
I do actually. April 6th is my first Spartan race of the year. They actually just had a trifecta weekend this past weekend in Georgia. And I am going to get back to that course again one day. I am going, that course kicked my butt. Kicked my butt. It's in Conyers, Georgia. And I don't, how I long just don't think we were expecting it to be as hard as it was. And it was just totally brutal. We ran out of fuel. Like it was the only time. And I've done a trifecta weekend, okay, where I've done 3 races in 1 weekend. And this was a trifecta weekend, but I was only doing 1 race. It was the only time I've ever been like, I don't know if we're going to be able to finish this. Like, we were, like, all dying. And all we wanted to do was sit down. But we were all like, but we cannot sit down. Because we know if we sit down, we're not getting back up. And they're going to come and have to find us.
Yeah.
They're going to know there's racers out there because you've got like a little timer thing that you're wearing. So they're going to know that there's racers out here and they're going to have to come and find us because we're going to like collapse. I mean, it was the hardest race that I've done to date and including the trifecta weekend put together. And I will have redemption on that course 1 year, maybe next year. I think it's going to be next year. But anyway, coming up in April, I've got the Charlotte race. The Charlotte race is the race that started it for me. That was the first race I did, and I fell in love with Spartan. And it was, we had freeze warnings the day, the night of going into the race. So we knew it was going to be cold. I knew nothing about Spartan races. People were asking me to do a Spartan race. They kept asking me and asking me and asking me. And I kept saying, no, no, no. And then finally I was like, if I say yes, they will stop asking me. So I had no idea what to expect. And I didn't know we had to get in water and like dunk ourselves. I had no idea we had to do that. And like I said, it was raining and freezing cold. And it was
brutal. How do you keep your muscles warm in something like that? I mean, once the cold hits you, just keep going.
You keep moving and you suffer through. I mean, the Spartan motto is do tough shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, you know, you earn that medal. So this is a finisher shirt. The only reason why I got this is because I finished a 10K Spartan. I think I got this. I think this was the last shirt I got last year in, I think it was Asheville, the race we did last year in Asheville, and we completed our second trifecta of the year. And so it was a 10K. But yeah, so I am crazy because there was a huge group of us. And so it would take some people longer to get through than others, the obstacle, but we all would wait for each other at the end of the obstacle. And so we're waiting and we're freezing. And so you're just like this the whole time, like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Some of them didn't do any of the water stuff because they had just gotten their eyelashes done and they didn't want to get their eyelashes messed up. So some of them skipped those obstacles. And so we're standing there and one of the guys was like being very sarcastic and was like, so who wants to do this next Saturday? And I was like, we do.
Nice. He
looked at me like, are you out of your ever-loving mind? Why would you want to do this again? And I was like, this is so fun. Am I miserably cold? Yes, absolutely. Am I having the time of my life doing these obstacles and showing myself what I can do? Yeah. Like, it was amazing. It was the best experience. And it probably took me, like, I got home and I was covered in mud. So I took a shower and I scrubbed my fingernails and I scrubbed my toenails and I got all clean. And then I went and I laid in a bathtub because I was to the bone cold. And I laid in the bathtub. And I still wanted to do it again.
Took that deep breath.
And I did a trifecta that year. Yeah, I did a trifecta that year. Then the next year I did two trifectas. I was going to do three trifectas this year and I've already missed, like I would have gotten my redemption. It just happened this past weekend. My knee, I'm worried about my knee and my knee is actually feeling really good since I've cut the sugar out. I mean, it still bothers me and I still have to like try to baby it and do things more low impact, but we'll see how the race goes and then whatever races I go from there. But the trifecta weekend medal this year is freaking awesome. And so I texted my partner and I was like, have you seen these medals? Like you only get it if you do a trifecta weekend. And I want one. And he was like, but your knee.
Nice. All right, so we're getting close to 7 o'clock here. That's right about our hour time. So, in true Slaughter fashion, if the Slaughter daughter were to cut a promo on motivation to get people to get their butts out there and get motivated for health and fitness, what would that promo be to send us out here?
Oh my God.
I know it's kind of on the spot here.
But like I totally could have had one. Okay. A promo. I've never ever done a promo.
Here's a first.
Gosh. Now I'm nervous. I'm sweating.
You're getting it. You're starting.
All right. So to motivate. Okay. Do you want to feel good about yourself? Do you want to like what you see in the mirror? Do you want to like how your mind feels? Then you need to get in the gym and work out. Not only are you going to love yourself,
you're doing good here. You're doing
working out too. So you mad?
Yes. Yes. There we go. Oh. It was an absolute pleasure, like always. And I hope, again, we can do this down the road again for round three.
Yes.
Like I always say, stay thirsty for life. This has been the interview with the Slaughter Daughter, round two. And thank you for tuning in. Until next time, stay thirsty for life. Cheers.
If you never need to reach out and talk to somebody, you can text 988. It's the Suicide National Prevention text message hotline. We all need to talk in one way or another. And I know myself, especially being a man, we all get locked in our heads. We need to break that silence and the stigma that men are not allowed to talk. Remember, it's 988 if you're ever feeling suicidal or just need somebody to listen. Again, text 988.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, well, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Won't you stand by me? Just as long as you stand by me. When the sky that we look upon tumble and falls and the mountains crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling,